مغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تعالى في القران المجيد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة معراج المؤمنين الصيام جند الصدقة برهان وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected elders, we discussed last week few points regarding first ayat of Surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Discussion was not complete, inshallah will continue. As I explained to you, meaning of Rabb is that being who brought us from non-existence. We are not in existence. Allah Rabbul Izzat, He brought us from non-existence to existence. After that, He provides for us, sustains us, maintains us, and also every form of difficulty Allah Rabbul Izzat removes as far as sustenance, nourishment are concerned. And Allah Rabbul Izzat is our Rabb from the time we are in our mother's wombs till death. No one besides Allah is our Rabb. Every other concept, every other ideology has to be left out. For example, in this materialistic world, that we are trained or we are programmed to believe that our shop, our business, our factory, our education, our capabilities, our abilities are a result of us getting sustenance, provident, all these things. And this is one basic error between Islamic education and the education which is pushed onto us. Whether we are in South Africa or America, anyway. See, the problem with the education system is that we are designed or we are trained, we are programmed to believe that we must earn money. We must earn money and we must learn how to earn money. And this is the end of life and be of life. Be all of life and end of life that we must do. And that is why mathematics, arithmetic, all these things are taught to us, and they are taught to us with the end result that I must get a degree, I must become so-called educated, and then I will get sustenance, providence, all those things. If I am not educated, if I am not able to open a factory or a shop or maintain accounts or engage in transaction, buying and selling and dealing, then I am not going to be a rich person, not going to be a wealthy person, and not going to get money so I can buy food. The concept that money buys food is put into us from our education days. From our school days, that is why our colleges, universities are designed like that. And that is why we are faced with this problem, that what comes out of university and college is that person who is a money making machine. He's no more a human being. You look at what profession you look at. He tries to make money. His life goal or aim in life is that I must make money. No matter how I make that money, that doesn't matter. Because by the time he reaches a stage, then halal, haram, jais, najais, good, bad, whether Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approves of it or disapproves of it, whether Allah is happy with my dealing or transaction, that he is not worried about. Why? He is worried about money, how to make money, what money will buy food, money will buy comfort, money will buy luxury, money will buy everything. And this system is put into the child, and we are indoctrinated by the system, programmed by the system to such an extent that we don't even realize I'm programmed. You question a person having a degree or having coming out of university or having a big factory or a shop, he will say, yes, the sustainer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but my shop. I am getting my food to eat, but my shop. Allah ta'ala provides, Allah ta'ala is rough, but my work. Allah ta'ala is doing everything, but this. You get that concept is always there. Sahaba ikram trained by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had it the other way around. And the battle and the confrontation of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam with their contemporary rulers, Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, you'll see just now with Pharaoh, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam with the Nimrod, their bone of contention was the factor of Rab. Who is the provider? And if you look at the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that after trying everything, they resorted to boycott. They said, no, we will now boycott. So Rabb is the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our provider and sustainer all the time. So our system of education, our concept in life, and our outlook in life, and our attitude to be, should be that alhamdulillah, Allah is providing and is providing through my shop. Allah is providing but is providing through my work. Allah is sustaining and is giving me the means through my education. And this idea of intelligence. See, we say educated person. One person will say, now the educated man is one who has got a degree or is a rich person, or an educated person is one who has got a lot of fame and glory and position. Or educated person is one who drives very big car, or educated person is one who got very big mansion, or educated person is when you start noting down his degrees and his qualifications, it fills the page. This is not education as far as Islam is concerned. Fuqaha, juror consultants have written in their kitabs and defined education and defined intelligence. Everything in Islam has been defined. And we must stress on this. This is where we are falling out. This is where we are lacking. We ourselves don't know this. And we are faced with this two-sided education going on. For 6-8 hours we have been educated in the Western style. When the child comes home, then when you ask him what is ghusl, then he says ghusl is bath. Whereas ghusl is not bath. Ghusl is an Islamic method of bath. You ask what is wuzu, you tell you evolution. Evolution is something else, wuzu is something else. That is why we have a difficulty. For example, kurbani. You ask a person what is kurbani, he may give you some definition. But kurbani is sacrificing of the animal for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything in Islam has been defined. Intelligence has been classified. Who is an intelligent person? Who is an educated person? The fuqaha say that that person who passes away and leaves wealth, and now he leaves wealth and there is no one who can inherit the property, then the fuqaha say it must be given to intelligent people via the Baytul Mal, via the public Muslim treasury. It must be given to the intelligent person. Then they define who is the intelligent person or who is the educated person. They say the intelligent and the educated person is that person who recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who has realized who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That person who has taken cognizance of the fact who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Then they further define that, that person who is sitting in a khanqah, or that person who is sitting and making zikr and fikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. That person is classified and categorized as an intelligent person. Now if you and I have to classify and say who is an intelligent person, then we may give some other definitions. And by no means a wealthy man is an intelligent person. By no means a rich man is an intelligent person. Otherwise, those people who are having big degrees, they should have been so-called devotee riches. One of the Ehtisham al-Haq, Alvi Rabitul Ali, narrates a very interesting story. He says there was a very wealthy person in Karachi. And his condition was that he could not even read and write. But he was owner of factories and mills. And once, how Barana Ehtisham al-Haq Alvi Rabitul Ali came to know that one poor person, destitute person, went to this wealthy chair and told him that I want some aid. So one of the Ehtisham al-Haq Alvi Rabitul Ali, the poor person came to him and told him that, see, that wealthy person is saying that you must write a note. You must write a note for me as intercession, as a form of intercession, and that wealthy person would give me the wealth or give me the money to relieve my difficulties and calamities. So, Balana Ehtisham Rahmatullah Ali, he wrote the note and sent it to the wealthy person. And then later met that person and told him that you cannot read a line. Why you want the note? He said, no, as long as I know that something has come from you, it looks like something has come from you, some writing has come from your side, I accept it. I know now the lady has visited you and you have written this note for her. That is all. Without reading a writing, the person is the one of the wealthiest persons. So that is why Islam is defining all these things, that who are the people who are educated and who are the people who are intelligent. Everything in Islam is defined. Compared to our metaphorical sustainers, compared to our metaphorical providers, that is our fathers and our parents, we have this feeling that they are providing for us. As I was explaining, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses two words, Rabb and Ab, and they are differences in this. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, compared to our fathers, see, a child has got this feeling that my father is the breadwinner, my father is the provider, and without my father, I will not be able to survive. And these days you come to know that so many orphans have been able to live and so many families are surviving without their breadwinners. See, the father, he only has got his focus of attention on the child, on his child, and maybe to other few others. His focus of attention of providing food is limited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing for everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a provider, a sustainer, a nourisher for the human being, the animal, the plant, kingdom, everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying that I'm providing for the black man and leaving the white man, or I'm providing for the Chinese and leaving the Japanese. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing for all and such. Then the parent, the father is providing food for the child for a limited duration of time. In his lifetime, whatever he can do for the child, he provides. Allah Rabbul Izzat is providing from that time, and he's still providing and still will provide. There is no time factor holding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing all the time and every time. And our provision, for example, at times, the father, he cannot give his children all what they want. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing for the whole universe all what they want. There is no defect in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's provision. So compared to our metaphorical sustenance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. His provision is without any time factor involved. There is one other disease that is coming into mankind. You see a person become wealthy, and he will become proud and arrogant. And he will become so proud and so arrogant that at times even he loses his iman in the process. He will build a fantastic mansion, have the best of cars, and sit in luxury, thinking that he is sitting in luxury. And from there he will say, when you question him, that all this what you see is because of my sweat. All this what you see, I have done it. It is because of me and because of my effort and my sacrifice and my intelligence and my capability of accountancy and my ability of transacting and my tact and my business acumen. All these things, because of me and because of I, and this egoistic feeling comes into him and says, I am doing all these things. To such an extent, we have seen mankind that when you go for contributions to Islamic projects and when you go for contributions for Islamic affairs and activities, that the person says, this I have earned and I will distribute it where I want. and I will to contribute where I want, because this I have done with my soul, whole effort. Only I have done. This is when the man oversteps the boundary and he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the real provider. In reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer in reality. This we should constantly remind ourselves, that whatever boons and favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us voluntarily, whatever boons and favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us as far as money is concerned, we should immediately prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who grants us. If you look at the wealthy people of the previous ages, and the Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam had to confront them, then the most amount of confrontation every Nabi had was from the wealthy class. Because they felt that this is their property, they have earned it, and they require no need for guidance. Their money will guide them, their wealth will guide them, their monetary system will guide them, their buildings will guide them, their mansions will guide them, their luxuries which they are steeped in, that will guide them. And if you look, then the West has realized this. And the West has realized this to such an extent that where Islam has come from, where Islam spread from, and where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, where Quran al-Kareem was revealed, where the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, where they were given training, where they were brought up, and where they had to fight all these battles in Islam, there the West has penetrated and put the love of the wealth and love of property and love of luxury and love of comfort into the Arab hearts. And that is why the whole concept, if you go and look at these people today, that they are going towards the world, putting structures up, putting palaces up, living in luxury, living in comfort, and monetary system is their only thing left now. Whereas Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam diverted their attention and diverted the attention of Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala away from the world and right through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contact was made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such an extent that when wealth began to flow into Makkah and Medina in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the subsequently the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in, that wealth did not touch their heart. That wealth did not bring pride and arrogance in them. That comfort which was at their feet, they left it. They left it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why they were able to so quickly progress and so quickly spread Islam. Wealth was brought to their feet. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he one day went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up, he was lying down, he got up. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up, then the mat had a pattern on it. That pattern came onto the body of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala told him that, Ya Rasulullah, the world is at your feet. Wealth is there. Monetary gains are coming in. Booties are coming in. And still you are in this condition. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam admonished Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala that once wealth comes into the body, once wealth comes into our thinking, and once wealth comes into our affairs, then we are not going to be successful. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated this in one hadith clearly, that I fear the fitna of wealth in my community. I fear the fitna of wealth in my community. And I explained last week also, that anything we have to do these days, we start looking at our pocket, then you have to do it. You have to open a madrasa, you have to open a maktab, you have to open a printing press, you have to do some good work, we start looking at the money first, and then you have to do it. And if you look at every organization or every institute which started without no wealth and which is having a little problem with their wealth, that organization or that thing is successful. Look at Alhamdulillah Darul Uloom Deoband. When it started, there was no wealth. One student, one teacher under the pomegranate tree, and Alhamdulillah, today there are 3,000 students. Because the small start, placing confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything can happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he instructed Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, that go to Pharaoh, فَإِنَّهُ تَغَى, he has become rebellious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, then go to Pharaoh. go to Firaun, he become rebellious, and now what he says? Firaun began to say, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. That I am the lofty, I am the big Rab, the big Rab I am. And this, imagine this quality that the Pharaoh adopted, that he said, I am the Rab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and Harun alayhi salatu wa salam to remind him, to shake him up and say, this, you are not the Rab. When Musa alayhi salatu wa salam went to Pharaoh, then Pharaoh questioned. Pharaoh said, Ba Rabbul Alameen. He asked Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, then what is this Rabbul Alameen you're talking about? Because da'wah of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was very clear. That Pharaoh is saying, he is Rabb. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, you know, you say, you are not Rabb. You are not Rabb. Rabb is Rabbul Alameen. So Pharaoh is questioning, what are you talking about this Rabbul Alameen? Who is he? So Musa alayhi salatu wa salam replied, Rabbu samawati wal ard wa ma baynahuma. That the Rabb, our Rabb, is he. He is the Rabb of the skies and the earth. He is the Rabb of the skies and he is the Rabb of the earth. And what is between them, he is the Rabb of them. He is the Palnewala, he is the sustainer, he is the nourisher and the provider for the what is between the skies and the earth and the skies of the earth. There is no place involved for provision for the Rabbiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean that he is providing here, not providing here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Hudaybiyah, when he came from Madinah to Munawwarah, he came to Mecca, and then due to certain reasons, the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed. And when the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they never come with full provisions. Because they, wherever they went, they should use the water of that area and they should carry on. Water ran short in Hudaybiyah. Sahabi reports that we had one jug of water left. One jug of water left. And we had no water for drinking, we had no water for ablution, nothing for wuzu, nothing. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala, they reported this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring the jug of water. It is reported, according to one narration, there were 1,400 Sahaba at that time. And one narration, 1,500 Sahaba at that time. And one jug of water. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for the jug of water. Placed his blessed hand in it. As it is reported that from his fingers, from between his fingers, the water began to shoot off like springs of water shooting. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in used the water, filled their pots, filled their containers, made wuzu, drank water. And one Sahabi narrates that if we were more than thousands and thousands, that water should have not stopped. How we saw it coming out of the fingers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, between the fingers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Proving contact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give this result. And when a person goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he strives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then like these kind of stories, incidents like this, and miracles like this happen. Question the persons who go out to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And question yourself too, sometimes when you go out and you do have got no means, no provision, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated one hadith that your rozi, your risk hunts you like how death hunts you. Like how death hunts you, your rozi hunts you. That is why the old people have got one saying that they say that on every grain of rice your name is written. They say that in various languages also. You will see, for example, you go to a certain religion and you bid farewell to them, you go into the vehicle, you go into the car, and the car does not want to move. The car does not want to start, there is some technical problem, or there is some problem you cannot understand. You are delayed to such an extent that meal time comes, you have meal, and now when you look at your vehicle, start your vehicle starts and you go. How many times this happens? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not make the statement, would not make the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam untrue. Why? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that your sustenance, your rosy will reach you and will chase behind you like how death chases behind you and will reach you. And we have got this concept. We have got this feeling in us. Every time, every moment, and every hour, and every day you've got this feeling. My shop, my property, I must do this, I must get money, I must do this. Sahaba Ikram Rabi Allahu Ta'ala were never had this feeling. Then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was faced. He realized that Fir'aun is not understanding. Because I explained to him already that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of the samawat and the earth, the skies and the earth, and what is between them. Then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam strengthens his argument. And then he says, Fir'aun. He says, Fir'aun, that Rabbukum wa Rabbu aabaikum al-awwaleen. That Rabb, my Rabb, that your Rabb, and your father's forefather's Rabb. From the time, you know, your grandfathers and your great-grandfathers, our Rabb and his, my Rabb and your Rabb and their Rabb is all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that there is no time factor involved. Which I will explain. And here Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is explaining to Fir'aun. But see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got no time factor involved when provision is concerned. No place factor involved when provision is concerned. That my Rabb who is giving me sustenance is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your Rabb who is giving you sustenance is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your forefather's Rabb is also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no time factor involved here when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't be befooled that you are ana rabbukum wa ala, that you are the supreme provider or you are supreme Rabb. No, no. You and your forefathers, Allah is the provider. See, no matter what are the times, Allah is the provider. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they tried everything for him to stop the message. They offered him, as I explained to you last week, they offered him everything to tell him to stop the message. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a message, and came with an eternal message, an everlasting message. That come what may, you must not give up the message. To such an extent, it is important. That is a historical fact. They drew out a charter of boycott. They drew out a charter of boycott, and they put Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims in that valley. The valley of Abi Talib, they put it there. No transaction, no buying and selling with the Muslims, no looking at the Muslims, no greeting with them, no marriage with them, no giving them food, nothing. But Allah is the Rabb, Allah is the provider. And no matter what other times, Allah is the provider. Allah provided for them. No matter that at that time, the Muslims, and including Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had difficulties. But alhamdulillah, they survived. They survived why? Because their belief was that Allah is the Rabb, that Allah is the sustainer, and Allah is the provider. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in went out in an expedition. They went out in an expedition, and food ran out. Food ran out, and they were at the seashore. Allah Rabbul Izzat threw out a whale for them. They partook of that meat, of that fish, to such an extent that they had leftovers. And on the way, because they wanted to breathe for Rasulullah, they got delayed in the journey, they ate it. They came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and narrated the whole incident. That we were called for the expedition. We were in difficulty, food ran out, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw out this fish. And we partook of this fish, and they described the fish. And how they described it, they said that in the belly of the fish, two of us could stand. Meaning that one sahabi stood, and another sahabi stood on top of him, then they could have fit into the belly of the fish. Describing the size of the fish. Allah Rabbul Izzat provides. What I try to prove and what we have to get into our heart. See, at times we say, no, I understand Allah Ta'ala provides. But this is not coming to our blood system. It has to come into our blood system. We have to start thinking that way. That Allah is my provider. That Allah is my sustenance. No matter what are the conditions. See, as long as there are few things, that we are doing this in conformity to Sharia. If you are floundering the Sharia, if you are massacring the Sunnah, if you are butchering the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are not performing to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you do not love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in reality, and then you have difficulty, then you are at fault yourself. But if you help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the feet strong, will keep you steadfast. If you conform to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the aid and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Definitely it must come. Why? Because this is promised wada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem also, that if we aid the deen of Allah, Allah will aid us. Then Musa alayhi salatu wa salam explains to Pharaoh,